Football on Off the Ball.
With Sky. Watch every single live Premier League game on Sky Sports, BT Sport and Premier Sports.
Now, great to have you back with us. Joe Malloy here. Johnny Ward's back in studio. Hey, Johnny.
Yeah, relegated to the, I don't know, to the cheap seats because the big man Kenny is in. It's kind of a hierarchy, an order that worries me. I'm not going
to
lie.
There's a general rule with the seats. If you've captained your country, you tend to be allowed to sit there. Kenny Cunningham, good to have you in. How you doing?
I don't feel as if I'm on a pedestal over there. I've got to be honest with you. That's a nice varnish on your table over there. John, yeah. I've got to be honest, I wouldn't be talking that down.
He has to have some good stories. I know you were talking in the newspaper roundup about this initiation process at clubs. I mean, no better club than that sort of stuff than the Dons.
Never on air, Johnny. You know that. Never on air. Joe knows that. He knows the rules.
I would say at Wimbledon, bad things happen to the young lads.
Did you watch the documentary, actually?
Bad things.
Would have featured Terry Phelan, John Scales, John Fashanu, looking back.
Ah, but that was back. That was before my time. That was full on then back then, wasn't it? Like I said before, we were kind of crazy gang light. I was kind of the generation
after
that. Yeah, there was a little bit of a flavour of that around the club, but not to that extent. We're a bit more sophisticated.
No, I hear that,
John. You know what I mean? That kind of next generation.
Because the reason it came up is there's a piece here with Desi Baker in the Sunday Times, and you know Peter Schmeichel's new autobiography out.
Yeah, alright, yeah, yeah.
Did you score many against Schmeichel, by the way?
Did I score many against
him? He didn't score in his entire career.
No, that's cheap.
Sorry now. So anyway, they are at Old Trafford. Desi Baker's over there. He's a young lad, boot cleaner. And so second or third time I was in the first team changing room. I brought the boots back and was leaving, and Peter Schmeichel wasn't happy. So he calls him back and he says, Irish, because he doesn't know his name. Irish, right. Boots aren't clean enough, and get me some tea and toast. Roy Keane stands up. Don't call him Irish. His name's Desi. Get your own tea and toast. So there you go. That's a little anecdote there.
I never had to clean the boots. I was 18 when I first went over. I was first year pro, so technically I wasn't that kind of as an apprentice. That was your responsibility in terms of keeping the shoes clean. A lot of you see the lads doing a lot of work. I actually used to chip in a little bit, to be honest with you, although technically I didn't have to. A lot of the lads, the young lads I would have hung around with, they would have done all the work cleaning and scrubbing, and there's a lot of work to be done. Now people talk about that now in terms of that's you know, whatever,
child labour,
etc., and even in terms of the age of the players and stuff. But people would argue it differently in terms of, you know, maybe it's an easy argument in terms of building kind of character and that type of stuff. The way Schmeichel would have spoken to Desi, and that was the environment at the time, and you had to harden yourself up to that a little bit. And
yeah, I'd say it was tough for some. For others, they would argue it might have been the making of them, because in the Class of 92 documentary, and they mention it here in this piece, it's mainly with Desi Baker remembering that period. But
right.
I think it was Scholes, but certainly one of the players was put in a tumble dryer, and it was even turned on for a little while, which is you're crossing the line, obviously.
No, yeah, a lot of that stuff was near the mark, all right.
Isn't
yeah, and if it was too much, looking back in retrospect, I think it probably broke a few kids, and that'd be sad, all right. You know what I mean? As much as we're talking about lads who kind of, you know, kind of harden them up and it kind of build character, and they went on to have careers, and they look back and that was a kind of the making of me. You won't hear the other side of the story, maybe kids who struggled with it and it kind of had the opposite, it kind of broke them a little bit.
No,
and they fell out of love with the game, and
I
went
suspect
off in a different direction.
I suspect those lads who came through it at the time would have come through anyway, because they were tough mentally anyway. I'm not sure it was the making of them. He has one here where he had done something else. He'd forgotten to clean boots one day. He's not complaining, by the way. Sorry, I don't want to misrepresent Desi Baker. He's not saying, this is disgrace or anything. He's just remembering it. He's chatting about it, you know. And he remembers Ferguson as kind-hearted and seemed to enjoy his time there. But he remembers forgetting to clean some boots or something. So I don't think it was the first team players that did this to him. But I was stripped of my boxer shorts, painted in black boot polish. Took me hours of scrubbing to get it off. My skin was red raw. That was done by second year apprentices. They wouldn't be first team players getting involved in all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it was a different time. I would think the academies now are run in far more.
Got bloody tipped well, I'll say that though. Christmas at the end of the year, when your boot boy came looking for his to get weighed in, did get looked after. And that, I never had the heart to ask anybody to clean my boots. even that first year pro, I'd kind of taken me boots and I'd polished them myself, like, you know. But
when you say you didn't have the heart, you thought it was demeaning, or?
Yeah, it just didn't feel right. Obviously, I didn't want to lose a few of me quid either at Christmas at the end. Yeah. Didn't feel obligated.
Will to I tip them? Or?
Maybe there was a little bit of that to it as well. I wasn't earning much at the time, but no, I did felt a little bit uncomfortable. Somebody, you know, handing me boots and doing that.
Yeah, type. I get that.
Yeah, then whatever.
Rite of passage, though, wasn't necessarily a bad thing, that you were expected to you know, earn your credit and to do stuff like clean boots for the senior professionals. It was what was expected, and it wasn't necessarily a terribly bad thing. And there's a documentary on Barney Curley tomorrow night on RT that we previewed, and he had to go to England when he was about 15 to work with his father, essentially to pay off money that his father owed for a year and a half. But he made the point that I grew up, when you do things very early and you're forced to become an adult very early, sometimes you achieve great things after that. And he grew up very quickly. And I think there's an element of that as well. Like I went to America for like 2 months when I was 15, and I found it really, really tough. And I was surrounded by family. And I wonder how kids that went to England, and you referenced it earlier, at 14, 15, that they were just expected. And I think it's a national scandal that we just let so many kids go who had to leave this country to earn their keep. And a lot of them came back in bits as footballers.
You're talking for, oh, as football, you're talking the
footballers. They didn't make it, they had to go to England.
I was too young, on reflection now. I mean, 14, 15 years of age, far too young, John, absolutely, without a doubt. A massive difference, I said it before, leaving Ireland 16 as opposed to 18 for me. It's huge. It's absolutely huge. I can't think of a situation where I'd encourage a young fella, you know, 15, 16 years of age to make that jump. Maybe in exceptional circumstances, maybe, you know, maturity beyond his years, or you sense something, there's a mental strength there, and he's going to be okay, he's going to survive in that environment. But to be separated from family or kind of, you know, your surroundings, that's tough. Different, you were saying, family. Oh, you're going into an environment, you've got family there.
And even I was very homesick.
Can make it a little bit easier, but yeah, no, not for me. I think you're absolutely right. I think people obviously let their sons travel for the right reasons, for the best of reasons, but yeah, in hindsight for me, that's a huge step.
Baku last night, 3-0 win. What do you make of it?
Well, I enjoyed it, to be honest with you. I enjoyed the result, I'll say that. I enjoyed the scenes, what are the pictures, what I was seeing on the telly, on the sidelines, the kind of relief, the joy, the interaction with the manager, the coaching staff, and the players themselves. It must have been great for them to pitch up in front of the camera after the game and talk about an Irish victory for once, and a number of positives to the performance. So, yeah, that was good. So, in that respect, I was pleased for them. Good aspects to the performance. Was it perfect? Absolutely not. Areas of the game we have to improve, undoubtedly so. But generally speaking, pleased with what I saw. I think there's the bones of a team coming together there, and I've seen it over the last kind of couple of games, despite maybe some of the results. There was a period of time there I was looking at the team not too long ago, lads, maybe even 6 months ago. In terms of formation, I was thinking, not too sure, even in terms of formation, where we're going here, personnel, even combinations. There probably wasn't more than three or four players who could hang me hat and say they've got to play for a start, and then the rest, I'm not too sure where we're going here. The last couple of games, to that back three, it looks as if Stephen's settled on that back three and the wing back, so that's good there, your kind of foundation blocks. And even in terms of personnel around the pitch, you know, Josh Cullen now I look at in central midfield. The back three obviously to a certain extent picked themselves, but there's still areas like that combination of players up front, you know, it's coming together but not quite, and that central midfield area for me is kind of key. Still maybe question marks there in terms of the balance in that central midfield area, but yeah, I think there's get a bit of a sense of, is there something coming together there, or there's clear pictures appearing in terms of, well, this is how we're kind of looking to, not talking about necessarily philosophy and styles of play here, but formation. We're going to play with a back five. Now this is it. We're going to build on this. Duffy, Egan, another Seamus, Matt Doherty in the wing back areas, and then off. We just need a bit of tinkering in front of that for me in terms of personnel and kind of formation a little bit, just in terms of the balance. But yeah, kind of baby steps forward, absolutely.
Yeah, because it felt very hard to predict, you know, even very little about what team was going to be named in advance, say 6 months ago. Whereas now, as you said, few parts of the puzzles look like they're, if not quite solved, but pretty close to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, last night, it was people say the team last night, it was only a case of, well, Fender's going to play, or James McLean, the left wing back position, and then fundamentally what combination up front with Alan Brown and Jace Malumbi not available in the central midfield. It was always going to be Jeff probably and Josh Cullen in there, and then it was just that combination, that front three. And I thought actually Stephen got it right. If you flip it to the previous game against Azerbaijan at home, and the front three which took to the pitch that night, Adam Eder, it was Troy Wasn't and Aaron Connolly either side of him, such an inexperienced kind of front three. I think it showed that night, very little kind of combination play, interaction play between the three. That night they kind of separate themselves almost from the rest of the team, not through kind of lack of effort and stuff, but just lack of experience and kind of game understanding. The balance didn't look right, the three that night, but last night thought it was far better.
Shows your levels as well. That's like those three you mentioned, they were unbelievably good for the 21s together. And I'm thinking the Sweden game at home, where Ireland went behind and they were brilliant. And you might look at Azerbaijan and say, well, it's Azerbaijan, but international football at senior level, it's different. And they froze on the night pretty much in that home game, the three of them. They didn't work.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I might be a little bit strong to say they kind of froze, but that the combination play really wasn't there. And even the players themselves, the more I look at Troy, he played right of a three that night against Azerbaijan. I'm not too sure. He looks like a player for me, he has to play in the central area. He'd like to play up front in his own or in a central striking pair as a pair. Playing right of a three for me, there's real significant differences there. If you're a natural centre forward and you're pushed to playing kind of inside right, particularly defensively, when you have to do a shift, you got to get back in and track back and double up. For me, that put too much of a stress on Troy that night. I look at him, I think, potentially as a central striker, operating in a pair higher up the pitch. I can see that. I could see potentially down the road Troy and Adam Eder as a pair in that central area. Potentially Aaron could come into that central area, but I think his game understanding needs to improve. Aaron, if he's going to progress as a central striker, I think he needs to learn that position as well. But last night was a lot better. Callum Robinson drifting in off the right, but into those little pockets on the inside, receiving the ball. Darrell driving in behind, and Adam being that kind of focal point, the cohesion was a lot better to our attacks.
I was going to ask you about that. Those three, Robinson, Horgan, Eder, they were all pretty narrow. They stayed close together. It wasn't like it was one out there, you out there, and Eder on his own in the middle. They seemed to be together.
This is how they play. Particularly when you play with kind of wing backs and you look for your wing backs really to give you that width. Mm. That drives those wide men onto the inside. And if you're going to play in the inside, you don't really want wingers coming onto the inside to play in the pockets. It's not their game. They're really forwards now. We look at Callum Robinson and Darrell Horgan. You've got to be comfortable coming in and playing 15 yards off the touchline, playing on the half turn in those little pockets. And Callum Robinson in particular is very comfortable. You could see that in the opening 20 minutes. He was drifting in, finding space, getting turned, and things were kind of happening for us. So that was a lot better. And even when Chidozie Agbene came on second half, I thought it even got better. I mean, his individual qualities, like when he got on the ball, you know, his ability to go past people in 1v1 situations, a real turn of pace. I mean, Darrell Horgan's high energy player. But Ogbeni, for me, looked as if there was a real turn of acceleration there. He was actually burning people over 15 yards. And even more so, his final delivery, quality of ball into the box, he got his goal. That was a performance second half, almost to the extent there. Oof, yeah, I think...
I caught the eye, yeah.
Yeah, you got to put me in now, almost. You got to put me in and have a look at me seriously from the start.
I was listening to yourself and Paul McGrath, the AM show not so long ago. So I suspect you weren't brokenhearted to see Bizzuno launch the ball into their half plenty last night.
Yeah, not at all. I think if you look at that performance last night, there's a lot of good in it, wasn't there? A lot of it attacking, chances created, goals scored, which is kind of
18
what
chances.
We want to see. Yeah, but that wasn't like it. That wasn't a start. You wouldn't have looked at that game last night, lads. And I don't know, you tell me, and thought, wow, this is totally different. We're going in a different direction here.
Touch more pragmatic in parts, not least. Let's not play it from the back when they're fully pressed up on us, which is no bad thing maybe at times.
Yeah, but even in general play, not taking too many touches in central areas, passing across the pitch and backwards, and you know, in our heads thinking, well, we've got to dominate possession here, we've got to have plenty of passes.
Getting the ball quickly,
get it into wide areas, people beating people in 1v1 situations, good delivery into the box. Callum Robinson had a great header, should have scored. Shane Duffy had a header again, good delivery into the box. So again, I look at that performance, that could have been any type of Irish performance from the past 20 years. You know what I mean? And that's a good thing. Yeah. That's not me. So for me, I suppose that's what I'm saying. I didn't look at that performance last night and think we're on a different pathway.
No,
here.
I take that point.
In terms of the style of football that we played.
In the last 20, 30 years, how many games we created so many chances as last night? Like and Stephen Kenny has to get some credit for this, because the way we played, we could have scored 7 or 8 goals in another night. And that doesn't happen. We had loads and loads of chances. Loads of chances. Without even controlling the game necessarily.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what to possess. I don't get overly fussed on the possession stats. I wouldn't have thought we dominated in terms. I think it would have been. They probably had more of the ball, Azerbaijan.
By a distance, we had 36%.
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
So don't get obsessed. Don't get obsessed about possession stats. Don't get obsessed about pass completion. You know, just trust your eyes and what you're seeing on the pitch. Now, that wasn't perfect last night, but it was a lot of good in that performance. And the good was. Actually, we look to be playing a little bit smarter. I could smell it a little bit, not just smell it, I could see it. Even the Serbia game, you mentioned Gavin Bizzuno. So seeing a goalkeeper now, probably getting some good information from the coach and staff saying, yeah, we want to split, we want to play out. But if you get a sense of opposition players are really committing players high up the pitch to counteract that, we'll play beyond it.
Yeah.
You know, play those 40-yard diagonals out to where wing-backs, we've actually got wing-backs in the team now, can actually go and win those headers, James McLean and Matt Doherty. Now they're heading the ball into forward areas of the pitch. Opposition team are stretched because they've committed players high up the pitch to that high press. Now there's space in behind. Now that's playing smart. Yeah. And that's all I'd say.
Other teams don't cope with that much, where we are, that out-ball to the two wing-backs, and it's working.
Yeah, it is, and it's not all the time. People will drop, take a step back. You'll have that little overload in the edge of your box. If you want to play, you've got confidence to do it. Yeah, absolutely. So for me, it's not one way or the other. It's just really playing smart, just giving your players good pictures and trust them to go out and make the right decisions.
First 15 minutes, what jumped out to me, a few things. So Ireland, really good in that first 15. Jeff Hendrick was pushed right up trying to press their defensive midfielder. He was high up. He was almost alongside Robinson and Horgan quite a bit. Thought he was good on the ball. Lots of clever passes in. Lots of good passing movements. We get the goal. God, this is brilliant. Do you think after, say, that first 15, that Ireland were happy enough to surrender the initiative a little bit and drop back a little bit? Or do you think, that was not the plan and Azerbaijan took over?
No, that wasn't a conscious decision. They did get a foothold of the game, you're right. I thought our pass and stuff, we got a little bit sloppy with our pass, and we won back possession a couple of times. And when you do, you've got to keep next two or three passes. You've got to be accurate. You've got to keep the ball, keep it away, because invariably opposition teams will counter press. If they're in possession, you're half the pitch. They pass the ball, you nick it 10 yards outside your penalty box, immediately they'll go and counter you straight away to win the ball back. So what you have to do then, you've got to be clever enough, you've got to be good enough to work those next 2-3 passes in a tight area. And if you can do that, that buys you time then to hit that, to get beyond them and get people kind of joining in. And when we won the ball back, invariably our next pass, we give it away.
And we did have a period where Adamida didn't hold the ball as well as you would like him to. And
that's part of it.
Yeah, so we struggled for various reasons, some of those you've outlined, and then just some players at times could do better in certain instances. Ray Houghton was bemoaning our throw-in several times. We did struggle for maybe 20-25 minutes to wrestle back control.
Yeah, we did. Although I was never overly worried either, because that solid defensive base I'm talking about, I kind of trust it now. They got a lot of ball, maybe 30-35 yards from our goal, kind of generally in wide areas. That was one of the small issues for me. They got beyond their front three at times, and that kind of exposed our midfield too. They had too much running to do, Josh and Jeff, from side to side in the pitch. I think that might be an issue. You mentioned about Jeff the first 10-15 minutes. His quality's in possession.
He was very good the ball. First 15, wasn't he?
Yeah. But the problem with Jeff and that, only in a two, and when you play with a high three, for me, is can you rely on him out of possession in terms of his athleticism to get across the pitch, make tackles, physically impose himself, kind of track runners? That side of the game as well, side of the game is important. I don't think that's Jeff's strengths. I think Josh Cullen does it better. I think he's quite tigerish in the tackle, and he sees danger and he gets around, he puts out fours. But I think he needs someone alongside him, or they need an extra man in there.
I was just going to ask, would you be inclined to, if we're quite liking the back three, for instance, would you be inclined to take one of the front three out and put it in with Cullen and Hendrick?
Well, there you go. And that's kind of the beauty a little bit of this system. When you play with the back three and the wing backs, you're kind of basically talking about a midfield two in front of that and a front three, as we've played predominantly. Or you could argue, if you wanted to make it a little bit more defensively secure, get a flat midfield three in there, as you're suggesting, and then it's a striking pair
with pace
high up the pitch. Yeah, you can talk about any individual, yeah, whatever individual qualities. Yeah, ideally pace in all areas of the pitch, I'd suggest.
Do you think that would give us more of a foothold in midfield in games?
Well, I think it'd help, but then it depends on the personnel. If you're thinking like Jeff, you're talking about, want to get his footballing qualities on, want to keep him on the pitch, because when he gets on the ball, he accepts responsibility, he looks to play forward, and he's positive with his pass, and we want to keep him that central area.
I'm not saying, by the way, he's Modric either, because as you point out, he gave the ball away a couple of times badly in the second half. He's not perfect, but he did have good moments, is what I'm saying.
So it's all dependent on the individual qualities of players, but I think you can actually start as we did, like we started last night with Jeff and Josh in the midfield two, the front three. But there's nothing wrong with that game last, like second half I kind of looked and I thought, no problem for 10-15 minutes to say to like Jamie McGrath, McGrath looks like a player to me. He can play maybe a few different positions and play him high up in a two, wide of a three. Can he play, say, one of those central three? Yeah, maybe so. Looks like he could play. So, nothing wrong for me last night for 10 15 minutes. Jamie, drop into a three now. Drop alongside Jeff and Josh Cullen in there and just bring the front three together as a pair just to make it a little bit more solid in that central area of the pitch. And that's the beauty of this system. You can kind of flip from one to the other at any particular time. That depends on players, their versatility. Have you got players who can do that, pop from one position to another? But this kind of formation, this back three and wing backs, allows you to tinker a little bit in that central area and those kind of front attackers.
It is mad as well, like the narrative after those early games, Kenny was constantly talking about our possession stats and so on and so forth, and he's not going to mention the fact that we 36% possession against Azerbaijan, and possession is kind of dictated by the team who is behind seeds possession, because they start sitting back and it's a natural thing. With 36% possession, yet on XG we absolutely dominated the chances in that game. We had way more good chances than they had, and that's kind of the evolution of the team, because it's not like it's often mentioned, oh, we've never been able to replace Robbie Keane. We've never replaced Roy Keane, though. We've never had a midfield general since him that can run a game. And I don't know, Kenny, where is that player that's, or do we need him? Because
no, I think you're right,
we don't have a player though that can kind of, like, you think of Keane's performances against Serbia in Belgrade or Yugoslavia, whatever they're called at the time, that performance I remember where he was like able to almost repel them on his own, and some of his performances, obviously we don't have that player. And
I don't get caught up in that, Johnny. I don't get caught up in that. It's like the Robbie Keane, oh, we don't have a Robbie Keane. I'm sick of hearing
is the
like,
midfielder coming through though?
Well, to me, if you're asking for a midfielder, what is actually exciting me at the moment is Jason Knight. It's a shame he wasn't available. He was obviously got sick, but he wasn't like last month, was he? Obviously picked up that injury.
So what's he going to be, or what is
he's a player for me, I don't know, and that's the exciting thing. I think he's another one. I look at him in terms of versatility. He looks to me as a player, he can play wide of a front three. I think he can play in a central midfield area. Probably he's an attacking eight at the moment. Can he play in a two as one of those central two midfielders? I think potentially he could. He played actually right of a four, if you remember, in the summer we went over to, it was Andorra we went to, wasn't it? Stephen played him right of a four, and he put some crosses in. He put a cross in Daryl Horgan to score. He put a cross in, whipped the cross in first half. James Collins should have scored as well with a head. And I thought, wow, that type of delivery from a wide area, that's pretty invaluable. That's a huge asset. And I'm thinking, here's a player who can play right of a four, can play wide of a three, centrally. So he potentially is a player. Even that Luxembourg game, he played centrally, didn't he? It was a bad night for us, I know. But I was really impressed with him. He showed a real kind of tenacity in that central midfield area. He was crunching into tackles. He's obviously very comfortable on the ball. He can get box to box. So potentially Jason's a player I'd like to have a look at in that central position to see, could he develop into that all action box to box out possession? You can trust him in terms of making tackles, making interceptions, tracking people, real kind of defensive mindset, but can also get on the ball, travel with the ball and get ahead of the ball and impact the game. So there you go. So we're asking for not a Roy Keane type of player, but that type of all action central midfield, potentially he could be one of them. That's why I'd love to see him in the team going forward.
To knit Johnny's point then together with what you were talking about in terms of the formation, look, Roy Keane ain't coming back. There's not going to be another Roy Keane most likely for 20-30 years if we're lucky. But the way you're talking about the midfield two or three, really what you're talking about is, say at the moment Robinson is definitely in the team, and I guess you persevere with Ida. So say Horgan there at the moment, he might be in danger for someone like Knight coming in, who can very easily go back, help Cullen and Hendrick, but then seamlessly join in with Robinson, join in with Ida, so it's not suddenly two on their own. Yeah. And that may be the kind of perfect balance that we're looking for, that we can be pretty flexible. Cullen Hendrick struggling, well, you're not on your own, Knight back, you come for 10 minutes, but then he has the ability to you know,
absolutely.
That's
that's where we're headed, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. So I never bought into this. We want to be more a possession based team. Those percentages, a lot of people seem to hold a lot of style in terms of those percentage possession above 50, 60. Well, this is better. This is where we want to be. I never quite bought into for the reasons that we're talking about. I don't see the necessity of it because you can be just as effective in terms of a team, lower possession stats, maybe to a certain extent playing more of a counter attacking game. But the game's always been a counter attacking game. We talk about playing out from the back. That's for goalkeepers' kicks, but that's a small percentage of the game. The majority of the game takes place in those central, you know, that central toward area between the penalty boxes, and it's basically transitions. You've got the ball, we take it off you. Yeah. You take it off us. Break on us, we break on you. In possession, out possession, kind of transitions, counter attack. That's a big chunk of the game right there. So for me, if we have a team who can drop off, take a step back, and has the confidence to sit in a kind of defensive block, back five, midfield three, whatever it is, and be comfortable in their defensive block, knowing that as soon as we win that ball back, we're going to hurt you now on transition. You're talking about kind of pace up front, Ogbeni coming into the team, Adam Eady with the ability to drive down the sides, potentially Aaron Connolly being those type of players, that type of devastating pace. Nothing wrong with that for me. Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that. That's, if you want to call it style of play, I don't know what you want to call it, but it's bloody effective and it'll win you games of football. And we got a bit of a flavour of that kind of last night, pressing high, winning back possession, breaking quickly and offering a threat, creating chances and kind of scoring goals. John Egan, wasn't it? The second goal, wasn't it? They're in comfortable possession. They play a ball in to the on the halfway line. John presses it, wins back possession, pops it to
Darragh, quick transition.
Pass in behind. Yeah, you can see their shape. They've got an open shape. They're in possession. 3 seconds later, they're desperately trying to get that defensive shape back. They can't get it quickly enough. Callum Robinson gets in behind Medvedev, the centre half. He's got no real cover there. Before they can regain that defensive shape, we've hurt them.
Yeah.
So that's clever for me. Like,
do you think the likes of Egan, because I thought all of the back three did it, do you think he's more inclined to step in the way he did when he knows he's got two behind him as opposed to just one other centre half partnership? Because they were very aggressive and it was good to see.
I think you have to do that as well. And the best teams who play that system are kind of a back five. You know, when I played it when I was growing up, very little encouragement at times if you're one of the back three to step in to that midfield there. It was up past him on. Pass him on, and it was the easy option. It was too easy. You're passing him into an area where your centre midfielders were outnumbered. They were like trying to put out fours all over the place.
You're comfortable back here, and you're
back. And that was too easy. Yeah. I think nowadays you look at managers now, and they encourage their centre halves, particularly those two wide centre halves, to follow in there, and then the players behind just to adjust their positions accordingly. You should be able to commit one of those back three into midfield areas, knowing that the rest of the defenders will almost kind of morph into a back four.
I think that's a major help from that system in the three at the back, in that you have a situation where Moba Modelli can have the strike that he had against Serbia, and we are constantly in games having situations where our centre back from open play is actually in the box, because you know you have the cushion of the two players behind you. And I imagine as well, Kenny, as a defender, when you're like, it's all about your shape and all that, but it's very hard in the midst of something happening quickly for midfielders to track defenders who are coming through from their own defence, because it's not natural that you expect defenders to come forward. So that means that if we have defenders who can attack and are given that licence, that's something that the other teams will struggle to. Like, look at the chances Duffy's creating in games. Yeah. And he's a centre back.
Yeah, well, it's an advantage now. For me, the ideal, if you're looking at a back three, I know it's a bit of a generalisation, but for me, the ideal would be a natural centre half in the middle of the three and two fullbacks operating either side. That's the natural. Now, of course, have you got to be able to defend? Absolutely. You've got to have those defensive attributes. And in the modern game, that's not so prevalent in terms of fullbacks now in the modern game. They haven't got that real defensive mindset. But if you look at the likes of teams who are successful playing that system, Chelsea probably being the best example, maybe since Tuchel's come in, that kind of back three. Azpilicueta is a good example, like playing right. Natural fullback, really. But he's a very good defender. So he can operate that right of a three. But what he gives you in possession, travelling forward, you've got that natural fullback mentality. When you travel in possession, it's comfortable. You're used to it, travelling into the opposition half, getting your head up and actually contributing, whether it's in terms of quality or pass from forward or even delivery. I mean, the amount of times Azpilicueta has put quite delivery into the box. So you're talking about Andrew Aubameyang, has he got that ability? I think he has, from what I've seen. John Egan, another one, very comfortable driving forward into midfield, committing opposition centre midfielders. And sometimes that's all it is. It's not a case of driving in, dropping your shoulder and going past people. Shane Duffy's right.
And you don't hear Andy Barry mentioned. It's all Stephen Kenny's mentioned 100 times that Andy Barry might be mentioned once. Andy Barry's clearly all over the tree at the back. Like, he clearly, because Kenny never did it for Dundalk. Barry's seen it at Chelsea and he's clearly likes the system.
It must be amazing for him to see it working with Chelsea week in, week out. Problem solve after a Saturday and, oh, why didn't that work? Oh, we need to, okay, we'll do that.
I mean, and then he comes to the Ireland setup.
We can bring a lot of knowledge to the Ireland setup. And it, you know, it's interesting, and you talking about drawing a man. I vividly remember Kenny's first game and
Kenny Cunningham's.
Stephen Kenny's, yeah. Stephen Kenny's.
I would have been driving into midfield.
No, but well, do you know what? There's a parallel there because Shane Duffy tried to do it once or twice, got caught out very badly, very early, got spooked and stopped doing it. And I vividly remember James McCarthy pointing to him saying, "You're meant to be coming in," and he didn't want to know about it that night. I would say Duffy's really improved on the ball. I know he's a dip in confidence in the last while, but last night he played a couple of really good passes forward. I think he looks a little more comfortable in there, and that was bound to happen over time under Kenny.
Yeah, and it's not, like I said, it's not a case you've got to, you know, drop the shoulder and go past a few people. It's just have the confidence to step forward and really commit one of those opposition players, and it might be one of their central midfielders, it might be their wide player might come in, but then it's like having a good picture, where's the pressure coming from and where do we need to get the ball. It might be a case of playing a little wild pass and bounce a pass and get it to that spare player, but that kind of matters, and it is important those kind of wide defenders have the ability to drive into those midfield areas and actually punch their passes forward. That's only one aspect.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong, you need to be able to defend 1v1, have those natural defensive attributes, that's the ideal, but Shane Duffy certainly has them, John Egan has them, and Andrew Omar Bamidiele, from what I've seen, a little bit of a rocky start, maybe 15-20 minutes. He was a little bit loose last night, was defending such a high bar off the back of the Serbia game. He played so well, but after that I thought he settled into the game really well. So that's the kind of future there as we are. I mean, it looks as if we're there now in terms of the back three. We can't be like flipping back to a back four now. I mean,
no,
this is what I'm saying, we're a year now into the job, teething problems, you're tweaking, you're trying to find, so I'm guessing this is it. Well, now we've got to stick with this.
Do you know what? I know Stephen Kenny's talked about building for 2024. I really wouldn't be upset at all if he said same starting 11 again on Tuesday, and let's develop those relationships further, and actually let's play together and let's get used to each other. Because if you look at the however many starting 11s, I know the system has been similar a little bit of late, but it's so many different 11s all the time. I think maybe they should try and build a few of these relationships. Horgan, I know, didn't have a great game, but let him and Ida and Robinson have a go again. Let Cullen and Hendrick have a go again. Let all of them go again together. I know it's about building for the future, but I think actually that would really help the team, because they're in action again in big games.
No, I agree with you. I think we're there now. You've got to make a commitment now in terms, you've got to get as close to your best team on the pitch. I think there's still two areas where he's searching, maybe little things we've spoken about. So in those instances, I don't mind one out, maybe one in. If it's Daryl Horgan
out,
Jay McGrath in, or even Chidozie Benny off the back of that second half performance, maybe we've got to tap into this. Can we find a position for this young for? Can he play down the central? Can he play down the central of the pitch with that kind of afterburn, that pace that he's gone?
Instead
that he has, does he understand the role
of Ida?
Yeah, potentially as an option to add.
Well, Parrott as well, because Parrott hasn't been able to hold up the ball well enough for Ireland, and that's been an issue. But Parrott is a far more natural finisher than Adam Ida, and he's scoring goals at League One level.
Yeah.
So he's an option, and it's kind of like marrying the old with the new. We're going back to a reliance on the three centre backs, because we think if we're in trouble, they'll solve the problem here. We've really good last ditch defending, we've really good centre backs, and that's I suppose that is one of the issues with the midfield, in that if they are exposed, Kenny's saying we're going to rely on those really good centre backs. But the foundation, Kenny, and you're a centre back yourself.
Isn't part of that though, Johnny, that we've got really good wing backs as well?
I'm not sure McLean's a very good wing back, to be honest. I think, you know, he's playing quite well, but at his age, the career he's had, I absolutely love Matt Doherty.
But you could have Coleman and Doherty, say, for instance, going forward.
So the wing backs, I think all five players that played in the back five last night, excluding the keeper as well, I think they all enjoy the system the way it's played at the minute. But from your perspective, Kenny's a centre back for Ireland. We've Nathan Collins, we've Darragh O'Shea. Mm-hmm. You know, we could have the greatest goalkeeper we've ever had by a stretch. We really have a foundation there from that back three, and you know, defenses win you leagues and so on. I do believe that though. We have, once you have that foundation, and we can tinker with one of these three young players up front, namely Conley, Parrott, and Ida, one of them kicking off. We have down the line, we have unbelievable underage talent, and I mean, that'll take a few more years. But if we can get, we have that foundation with Bazuna, Kelleher, and that back four or five, whatever it is, that we can plan for 10 years ahead and said we've a long way to go just in that back four and that keeper.
Yeah. I wouldn't be looking too far. I'm probably a little bit greedy in that. I'm thinking more the next year or two, to be honest with you, getting a team together that can actually compete and qualify for the major tournament. So, but I think you're right, some of the points that you've made in terms of players that you've mentioned. Troy Parrott's an interesting one for me, because again, I look at Troy, hasn't got that leg speed for me that Adam Ida has in terms, you know, running the channels and stretching teams in behind. Probably Troy, for me, I look and I think he's probably our best finisher. If there was I know Callum Robson scored two goals last night, but if there's one player I feel as if the ball dropped to his feet in the box and you really wanted to have composure and confidence, Troy's probably the one that I'd like him the chances to fall. So I think it may be Aaron and Portugal, and those two chances he had first half, he dribbled in the box, keeper to beat, and he kind of, you know, was a little bit not convinced in terms of his finish. There was a volley second half, was headed back to him, I think it was by was it Egan or Duffy, and he kind of volleyed it wide, you know, not glaring chances. But again, I just feel Troy Parrott, getting those central areas in the round, but he for me potentially is the one. But then I think you need to marry him up with somebody. I look at Troy and I think ideally to get the best out of him, so you got to get him in a two up the pitch. We're talking about that narrow midfield
and
pairing up front. I think with Troy, you got to get him into the pitch in the central striking position, but ideally somebody with him. I think maybe as a lone central striker, that might tax him a little bit too much.
It might happen as well. Like
somebody alongside him to share the load, and he can actually interact with and kind of,
and a bit of pace.
Yeah, exactly. Just complement that a little bit.
We still have serious problems in attacking areas. Let's not get away from that.
Sorry, before we get too happy, we're going to come back to that in a second. How are we going to score goals? We'll figure that out in a couple of minutes' time. But we're going to take a short break. Football and Off the Ball, brought to you by Sky. All the football you love in one place across Sky Sports, BT Sport, and Premier Sports. Kenny Cunningham staying with us. Johnny Ward here as well. We'll get to some of your text messages as well. Loads coming in after the break. Back in one sec.
It wasn't like it is now, where you play GAA and soccer and all sorts of other games as well. It really had a stigma.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts, and download the OTB Sports app.
Michael and Finglas, take it easy. We beat the 117th best team in the world. No, we take that point as well, Michael, but as Kenny was saying, there has been a bit of an improvement this window and then the last window as well, and a bit more consistency about shape, and the quality of performance that we're seeing is improving. On Adam Ida, I'm just curious, I was asking during the break what we think about this, because against Portugal, in fairness to him, he held the ball up very well. I thought it was kind of a coming of age maybe performance.
I agree with you there.
Last night it was just disappointing. Not so much, you mentioned him getting down channels one or twice and putting in crosses, because we know he's got that physicality and a bit of skill about him. That was great. It was more, especially when the team were under the cosh, there was a certain looseness to the way he was, well, not taking the ball in and losing it too easily. There was one time where he lost it twice in a row in quick succession and was appealing for a free instead of closing down player, and they get a shot away, and you could see John Egan rollick him as if to say, come on. So Portugal, Ida versus the Ida we saw last night. Give us your thoughts on where he is.
Yeah, well, I suppose where he is in his development. He's still a young player. He's still learning the game, still developing. You're going to get those peaks and troughs. That's pretty natural, really. Maybe we're setting the bar a little bit high. The Portugal game, I think you're absolutely right. I got a bit of a sense of looking at physically, he'd grown, he'd matured, he got physically stronger. Looked to me, been in the gym, whereas previously, maybe under physical contact, he was kind of, you know, hitting or losing possession, that his ball retention was a lot better, even kind of how he was moving over the ground. Was really impressive, played with a bit of confidence, a bit of an aura about him that night against Portugal. So yeah, he wasn't up to that standard last night. I wouldn't be panicking, but it's just those areas of the games which you always need to improve, because we did drop off after that opening 10-15 minute period, couldn't get hold of the ball. Well, that was partly a reason. It wasn't all Adam Ida's fault. I said about the quality of the ball sometimes up to him wasn't the best, but certainly when they do find him with the ball into his feet, he's got to make it stick. He's got to know how to use his body, be clever, you know, entice to foul, you know, take the pressure off, and that didn't happen for that small period. So yeah, that has to improve, that part of his game. You're always looking for a kind of perfection.
What's Troy Parrott like at that hold up play?
Yeah, I think he's a little smarter, try in terms of how he uses his body. But again, with Troy, I always feel he needs to be close. The closer he gets to the opposition penalty box. At the moment, Adam Eder, he's really struggling for a goal. Now, Adam gets the ball in around the opposition box at the moment. You're not thinking goal. He's probably not thinking that at the moment. Don't really sense as if the confidence is there. Spoke to you about it there off air. I was a little bit disappointed he actually came off when he did. Just felt as if the game was going up. There was going to be chances there. And it would have been great if he had got that goal. I think that really would have helped him in terms of confidence and got off the mark for his country and that type of thing. He's going to have to be a little bit more patient and wait. But no coincidence, like Troy Parrott came out, he was in the game last night, and somebody went, oh, what's the point? They've only got 20 seconds. What are they going to do? Well,
nearly scored.
Troy Parrott. He strikes me as that type. Get him in around the opposition box. He's got that little bit of a radar about him in terms of anticipation, where to find space, and that little bit of confidence stroke arrogance that, yeah, give me the ball. He's not going to shy away from the responsibility of shooting and scoring.
Oh, and you think as well, I mean, against Andorra, he dug Ireland out of a bit of a hole in the summertime as well. You know, we found the net.
And it was the performances for the 21s, Joe. Like this, his performance in the two games against Sweden.
Yeah.
Like, and I know it's under 21s, but he was an absolute star. He had. I spoke to Kenny about him. I think he just gotten the job, and I think Kenny's words were he has like a movie star quality about him. Not only I think as a player, but as a person, and he has huge belief in Troy Parrott. And we sometimes have massive expectations, but for his age, what he's doing at League One, albeit he's playing up front with somebody, as Kenny's mentioned, what he's doing at League One is not a bad standard for a kid of his age, and we shouldn't forget him because like he still has an awful lot of potential there.
No, fair point. You forget he's still 19, and we're like, "Oh, geez, Troy, come on, what are we waiting for?"
Yeah, no, yeah, without a doubt. But it's about all aspects of your game. You're talking about Troy, the qualities that Adam Eder has in terms of under pressure, running the channels, making the ball stick, actually taking you up the pitch. Nothing better than that. I know as a centre half, you're under the cosh, you win back possession, you see your centre forward prepared to peel off and run that channel. It doesn't even have to be the greatest ball in the world sometimes. It just has to be hit into a good area. He'll make the ball stick. Maybe he'll win you a throw in high up the pitch, and that's absolutely everything when you've been working your lungs for kind of 4 or 5 minutes continually in the edge of your own penalty box. That's massive. Deep breaths, get yourself up the pitch, kind of regroup. That's absolutely huge. So Troy has to offer that as well, and that's not so easy when you haven't got that type of leg speed. That's not as easy in terms of doing that, because opposition centre halves will assess you very quickly in terms of your leg speed, like giving themselves a half yard start, knowing there's no way you're going to get the best of them. So it's all about that, and it's about telling the team. Troy plays in the team high up the pitch as a central striker, maybe instead of Adam Eder. Then you're looking at those supporting players thinking, really have to get legs now in the team, got to get people to get beyond them. He hasn't got the ability to do that himself. We really want to get him into the team because you know the qualities that he has, and he's a goal scorer and he can score his goals. So you have to complement that in terms of really getting real pace now either side of him, who can actually get in behind them. Now you look at the likes of Daryl Horgan, Chiodosi Ogbene last night, then you think, well, with that type of player complement them. Callum Robinson a little bit more if he wants to come in, drop inside into the pockets, maybe that's not going to work so much. Just what I'm talking about, kind of combination players which kind of complement you. So it's quite exciting in a way, like, and it's interesting. I am interested in terms of how Stephen and the support staff see it going forward in terms of those areas of the pitch.
Because it's interesting. Say for a second we were chatting here and we were saying, well, let's get a third midfielder in for the reasons we discussed a while back, and then you're saying, well, let's try Parrott, but Robinson almost has to be in the team in current form. Robinson, Parrott lack a bit of pace, and then you're suddenly rejigging things around again. So it's about finding this perfect magical balance. What is the Kenny Cunningham perfect magical balance?
Well, no, because I think it changed, but that's what I'm saying. I think I like this system. I've always been the back four. My preference probably would be for flat back, for actually 4-4-2. Oh, you're Neanderthal Cunningham. I'd like to think we've got
a dinosaur. 19th century,
yeah, exactly,
or something.
Exactly.
Like.
But
with
this is
Vinnie Jones as centre back and Fashanu up front, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, volleyball. But this system, I've looked at this system a lot actually. This system's changed, the kind of back five from my first. When I first played, it was back five. It was a midfield three, two sitters and like a 10 and a front two, and that was it. Everybody kind of played that way. But it's kind of evolution. Football's changed, and it has changed over the past, say, half a dozen years. The kind of back five. Now we're seeing the kind of 3-4-3. Yeah. You know what I mean? And the two number
Chelsea,
10s. Yeah, exactly. Conte coming in, Hazard and Pedro were the two best examples, playing as their own number 10s. But you look at that Chelsea team, how they defended. So I'll say, you were saying last night, we got played through a little bit front three, where you look at how Conte set that team up. When they lost possession, Hazard and Pedri dropped back into a four either side of Kante and Matic. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong, they're the two strongest. That defensive axis was as good as it's ever been in terms of Kante and Matic. They could have played every game but by themselves. But he expected those two number 10s to drop back into a narrow midfield four out of possession. And that's a hell of a defensive shield. Back five, four, with those two central midfield players. And he was happy to play counter-attack, you know, drop off into a lower defensive block. And he was confident in that defensive shape because of the qualities which he had in the team. And then break, Costa up front, Hazard's pace, Pedro's pace, breaking for deeper and joining in. So he tailored his system to suit the individual quality of the players that he has. So we've kind of got to do the same.
That's what Kenny is doing. But it's like, and you mentioned it, Joe, that midfield, it's still like there's so much you can pick and say. It's just,
yeah. So you got Jason Malumbi there as well.
He hasn't caught it at all.
No, he hasn't. But
for club or country,
yeah. But again,
and
time,
he's been the disappointment.
Yeah, but patience. Again, I look at him. He flipped up to West Brom, not getting that game time as well. But he's the type of player.
Jason, Connor Coventry's an interesting one.
Coventry's an interesting one. Alan Brown, for another one, we haven't mentioned as well. He's been out of the team, and I think he's had a big impact when he's been in the team. Potentially, he's somebody. Could you trust him in a midfield three? Has he got the legs to break from there and get in support? Absolutely. Does he carry a goal threat? Absolutely, when he gets inside the opposition. So I think there's options there for us, but it's not like, it's just every situation, you know. It depends on the opposition that we're playing. Like last night, you'd look at Azerbaijan and think, can we afford to go with that? Was I happy necessarily from a defensive point of view with that midfield too? No, I was a little bit worried in terms of playing with the front three and really leaning on Jeff and Josh in certain situations. But against the caliber of the opposition, yeah, I think that was a calculated risk you could afford to take. If that was like Serbia and Portugal, would I be as confident going in with that system? Would I play the back five? Yeah, absolutely. Would I tinker with what was ahead of that? Yeah, probably so. Would I like to see that extra midfielder in there, that more of a solid midfield tray? Yeah, I think I would. So, but I think we can, that's not like,
and
oh,
the players
sake,
are
we're tearing it up and starting from scratch here.
The players are enjoying it. Like this, I don't think we should. Like, you can just tell from these players, they are enjoying being part of the way Ireland play at the minute. They're enjoying the setup, and they're enjoying Kenny giving the likes of Robinson. You have that bit of freedom to do. Robinson is clearly playing for Kenny. You can see that last night.
I think you're right. Look, has there ever been a player who's stepped in front of the camera after a game and said, look, I'm not happy with what this environment here is?
Surely Ireland players didn't enjoy playing on the system, the way we were playing at times under Martin.
We never heard it vocally, did we? Never.
You can't as a player
do that.
You can't go from an English restroom where you're surrounded by like other nationalities and you play a certain way for your club, and then it's like, right, I'm off on Ireland duty now, let's forget about playing football for the next 3 days because this is
But we're getting back to the argument there, John, about like,
but they have to be enjoying it.
We're going around in circles here talking.
They have to be enjoying being told You're able to play football. I trust you to play football.
What are you talking about when you say play football?
Like play some offensive play and have a bit of freedom on the pitch.
Right, so we're talking about the same thing there. Like you're saying it's some good offensive football, but you've got pictures clearly in your head. I'll have pictures in my head when you say it, and they might be totally different. I'm not sure we're talking about the same thing here. We're talking about good football. I mean, good football for me is smart football. And that's what I'm talking about. I've seen a little bit more of that from this Irish team the past couple of days in terms of, well, why make three passes when you can play one and you can play it forward and you can put people out of the game and you can play it down the side and you can turn opposition teams, you can put early crosses into the box, you can get people arriving into the box, you're winning second balls and you're snapping into tackles, you're pressing hard up the pitch. I mean, that's all, that comes under the heading of good football to me. But I've played that way in an Ireland jersey for 10 years, you know, and that's good football, and I've no problem with that being rolled out again. I've seen a bit of that the last couple of games as well. So
I think people can mistake good football for neat triangles in your own half going nowhere.
Yeah, and I still think, John, fundamentally with players, results. Now, I know there's bigger picture stuff here. We're looking down the line, we're building towards but for some of those players, some of those players in that squad are not going to be around in two or three. It's all about the present, it's all about the now, it's about going onto that pitch every single day and having a template in terms of how you play that, you know, we're going to be competitive, you know, we're going to be a stone in their shoe today, they're not going to enjoy playing against us today, we're going to be competitive, we're going to get a result, and there's potential in this group for us to go and qualify and be where we want to be, finals, European Champions and World Cup. I think fundamentally still that's what drives players. And if you have to sacrifice a little bit in terms of how you're playing for a club, and you've got to actually tweak your approach a little bit in how you're being asked to play, I've no issues with that whatsoever. If the end result is we're going to get where we want to be, and that's being competitive and actually qualifying for major tournaments. Now, that hasn't been the case. People talk about transition. I understand that to a certain point. But if I was a player in that dressing room, I would have enjoyed, I kind of enjoyed that last year, losing game after game, coming off the pitch, the negativity, having to go in front of camera. And knowing yourself, what we're offering up here, it's not good enough. We're not good enough to compete playing this way, whether we're in transition or not. I want to arrive at a situation as a player pretty quickly where I'm in a team, we've got a set system of play and predominantly a set group of players that I know going onto the pitch, we're going to be a handful today. And we don't have to dominate possession. We don't have to have 60%, 65% of possession today to win this game.
Kenny, great to have you in.
Done. Beautiful.
An hour done.
I mightn't have to pay for that extra hour on the car park. I'm just thinking, I'm doing the maths. 5 minutes to get to the car park, and I'm going to get that extra hour. What's that? That's €5, isn't it?
That's €2.90
you're
going to
save. That's a hit.
Kenny Cunningham, thank you. Johnny, thanks a million for coming in. Appreciate it. We'll take a short break.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Sky. Watch Premier League, Women's Super League, Scottish Premiership, and much more. Live on Sky Sports.